Our high temperature is about 94 with about 80% humidity. And so we love Nova Scotia. Amen? Y'all have probably never seen 90 degrees in Nova Scotia, have you? It's a rarity, though, I'm sure. But, you know, I'll tell you one thing, though. I've been in Morgan City for 6 years, and we don't own snow shovels. So when you folks are digging, we're wearing short sleeves. So this time of year, we really envy Nova Scotia, but in about 6 months, we will not, because we hear it gets awfully cold, and you get a lot of snow here. But it is really beautiful. We love your community, and for a number of us, we came last year and really had a tremendous trip, and we're excited to come again this year. And so thank you for having us. We want to thank the host homes that are keeping us. Some of our people, they can get a little rowdy, so you do what you have to do to keep in line. And we're staying with Jack, and we're doing what we can to keep him in line. And so they're not laughing at any of this at all. You know, at home they laugh at me. Maybe they're laughing at me or laughing with me. I don't know. But today we're going to look at Philippians chapter 3, if you have your Bible. And this is the passage I call my life passage because it really speaks to where I've been, kind of like the testimonies you heard a moment ago. And it talks about the transition of the testimony of a Christian life. And so I hope it'll bless you as we read this today. I always think we need to honor God's word by standing. So would you stand with me as we read verses 7 through 11 of Philippians chapter 3. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, "But whatever was to my profit I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead." Let's pray together. Father, may this passage speak to us. May the Spirit of God be in this room to speak to us as well. And God, may You penetrate to our hearts that we would know You as Paul did. And God, if there's a man or a woman, a young person here today that has never come to know You, would You speak to them like You did to Janice in the hospital? Father, like You did to Roger in a hotel room in London, God, might You speak in the Kinsman Hall to people today that have not met You. Father, may You move in people like this young man who was praying to the devil and found Jesus. God, we realize You want to transition us from what we are to what we need to be. Today, would You transition people in this place? In Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. My wife and I just made our 28th anniversary, and that's a great thing. We have 3 children. I got one of them married about a month ago, and we got 2 other ones, our baby. In fact, today is coming home from youth camp in South Carolina, driving back to Louisiana as we speak. And so my wife and I have been together a long time, and we have moved a bunch. I heard others talking, like Janice, that they've moved a bunch. We've moved around in the ministry and going to seminary and those type of things. And so what I have learned is when you move around, you have to get rid of trash. You know what I'm talking about? We have only lived at the longest anywhere was about 7 years and 28. And so we've just made 6 years where we are and plan on being here a good long time. But early on in our lives and our marriage, we moved around quite a bit. How many of you can relate to that? You moved around a good bit. We got a handful of you. When you move around a bit, you have to pack and unpack, pack and unpack. And so what we learned to do is whenever we moved, we had what we called garage sales. Y'all have those here in Canada? Garage sales or yard sales or whatever. And so we determined before we move, we'll get rid of the junk we don't want to keep. And I can't tell you how many garage sales we have had over the years, because it's like if we're going to move, we want to move light. We don't want to carry all the baggage with us. Now, there's a danger when you don't move much. How many of you have been in your home for more than 20 years? There's a bunch of you. I'll make a guarantee, if you've been in your house more than 20 years, you've got a collection of some junk in your house, don't you? Now, I shared this with our church. At my house, we have what we call a junk drawer. And that's a drawer where the batteries go, the rubber bands, the loose ink pens, and the owner's manuals to the things that I recently bought. They all go in the junk drawer. Now, after you've lived in a house a while, you go from a junk drawer to a junk cabinet, and then it grows into a junk room. And some of you men, you have a shop, and that's where all the junk goes. Now, if you've lived in your home a lot longer than 20 years, you've got a collection of things you just can't get rid of because one day you're going to use it, although you haven't used it in 10 years, but one day you're going to need it again, and it's been sitting where it's been for 10 years.
You've got a drunk home.
I'm getting there, okay? You know, if you go long enough in the same place and you don't get rid of the junk, then you have a collection of junk that's in your house. Kind of like that flashlight had junk in it. In our lives, if we're not careful, we can get very, very cluttered. Not only cluttered physically, but cluttered spiritually. And when we look here in the life of the Apostle Paul, this is his basic testimony. We didn't read the earlier part, but he talks about where he used to be, that he was a Pharisee, which was one of the highest spiritual rulers in Judaism, that he was from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was zealous. He even persecuted the church in his day for the Jewish people. He was a guy that really was it. He had all the credentials. His resume looked good. But he said those things had become clutter in his life. Let me tell you something. If you're not careful in this life, you gather the clutter of what people think is important. Now, what can clutter be? It can be good things. It can be bad things. We think of evil clutter, things such as he's an alcoholic, or he's a drug addict, or she lives a wild life, or he's addicted to this, or she's addicted to that, or they're doing these type of things, or he's committing adultery, or she's whatever. You know, we could list all these things that become clutter in life. But do you know some things that clutter your life aren't sinful? Some things that get into your life may be good things, like a nice car, a nice home, a nice yard. You have a nice John Deere lawnmower. You know, you can have pictures on the walls, or you can have a collection of movies, or you like to travel, and all these are good things. But if we're not careful, both sinful things and even good things can clutter our lives to the point where God doesn't have any room. The more clutter you let in your life, the less room that God has to be significant. I've been in church since I was 5. I turned 50 2 weeks ago. I know I don't look it, but I just turned 50 2 weeks ago. 43 years of being a believer. So I've had a lot of time to follow the Lord since I was a child. But you know what? I've had to go through seasons of dealing with the clutter. I came to Christ as a child, about age 7, almost age 8. And when that happened in my life, I had to get rid of the significant clutter called sin. I had to go to the Lord and say, I'm a sinner, and my sin separates me from you. You know, you will never get right with God till you're willing to address sin. You mean as an 8-year-old, you have sin in your life? Absolutely. You see, I'm born with a sin nature. And then with the passage of time, sin starts to mount in my life. That's why it's easy at Bible camp to take children who haven't had much experience, because what happens is they don't have a bunch of clutter. And so they're willing to deal with some of the things in life because they're young. But you know what's the hardest person to get right with God? It's the older person. Because the more clutter you have accumulated in life, the harder it is to say, I want Jesus more than my clutter. So you get 20 or 30 or 40 or 50, or you become a senior adult, and it's like, do I want to deal with all this? I have built my life on these things. Do I want to turn my life from that and turn to Jesus? Because it is a choice of Christ or clutter. The Apostle Paul had to make such a choice. You look back at verse 7, he says, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Those things I considered meaningful, I've had to determine I'm willing to lose them. You see, coming to Jesus oftentimes for an individual who's an adult is more about what they're going to leave than who they're going to follow. Following Jesus is an unknown. Your sin is comfortable. That's why you see very few adults that come to Jesus later in life, because they prefer the sin they know than the Christ they have yet to follow. But you heard Roger. Roger said he was diving overseas. You know, he's getting to see the world. He's experiencing things. But there's an emptiness in his life. You heard Janice, who said she grew up in church. She was on her second child, happily married, was doing well. And God said, there's something lacking on the inside. Here's the deal. Listen to me. Most of the clutter in life is outside of you, and it'll never fill the void inside of you. A nice car. Oh, those are good, aren't they? We rented cars this week from Halifax. Ours is brand new. It even smells new. Isn't there something great about the new car smell? Do you notice every new car the smell leaves? You have a new baby. If I have a child, it'll fulfill my life. And you get the baby and you start rubbing on that baby lotion. Don't you love a new baby smell? Then they become teenagers, huh? And they start smelling. You know what? If I could just get that new job and I could have that office, or I could have this position and my paycheck would increase, it would fulfill me. Listen, every one of these things are outside of you, and they do not penetrate the heart of who you are. I got saved when I was a child. Came to Christ on a Sunday night. I'll never forget it. I was sitting on the right side as you walk into a little church. About as many people are as here today. The pastor was speaking on something I don't even remember. On a Sunday night, having been in church just a few years, I heard him speak and I was convicted. Now, what does that mean? I felt a discomfort in my heart. I realized I was separated from God. And after the service that night, I was a little bit nervous, because as a child, I didn't want to go in front of the church and meet with the pastor. So what I did is, after the service, I grabbed his hand. And I said at the back door, "Pastor, I need to speak to you." And that night I went in his office and he shared with me what I needed to do. And as an 8-year-old boy, I accepted Christ into my life. Eight? You don't know much at eight. You know what I learned? The Bible's very clear about this. Unless you come to Christ as a child, you can't have him. And why does the Bible say that? Because a child believes everything by faith. Isn't this kind of neat when you look at creation, the way God did it? A horse stands on the day it's born, right? Most of the animals in creation, right after they're born, they're almost independent in many ways. But God in his uniqueness made people. We're the most dependent creature on earth for the longest period of time. Is that an accident? So at the age of eight, I'm still living with my parents. They're providing me food and clothing and shelter. And I believe God did that because we're made to know him, and he made us in our youth so dependent and helpless. Because when we're dependent and helpless, we'll turn our hearts to Christ. Do you know why some of you adults don't know Jesus? Because you grew out of being helpless and dependent to being self-reliant and independent. So as an 8-year-old boy, where all my life was provided outside of me by my parents, I could turn to God because my life was a life of needing everything provided for me. And I turned to Jesus and I said, "I want you to save me." And at the age of eight, he did that. Went all the way through my high school years. I was a good student. Understood the Word of God. Went to all the activities, all the different things the church provided. We were there Sunday morning. We had Sunday night service. We had midweek service. Did it all. Went through high school. Did very well. And I don't know what it is about that time in life, but I reached my senior year of high school. What do you think you know when you're about 17 or 18? What do you think you know? Everything. Man, you guys understand. Isn't it? That's crazy. In Canada and in the U.S., at the same age, we think we know everything. And so I'm a good student. I'm getting ready to go to college. I had some scholarship money. I found a girlfriend who wasn't walking with Christ. You know what ended up happening? Got off the path. Started putting junk in my flashlight. And as a result, for about 15 months, I was living in rebellion, although I went to church every Sunday. We broke up, and God broke my heart at the age of 19. And I came back to the Lord at 19. You see, it's what happened here in verse 8. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Wow. At 19, I knew a lot better than I did at 8. At 8, I wanted to be saved with little knowledge and childlike faith. At 19, I had gone through life a little bit. I had had some education. I had some worldly experience. I had been around. And what I realized is the older I got without Jesus, the emptier I felt in my heart. Let me tell you right now, if you're an adult in this room and you have never come to know the Lord personally, right now you feel an emptiness and a void in your life. You can't identify what it is because you've made a little money, you've had some possessions, you've had that new car smell, you've held a baby or maybe even a grandbaby in your arms, you've got pictures on your wall of the accomplishments of this life. You've been to Toronto, and you've been to Montreal, and you've been to the States, and you've maybe gone to Europe, and you've seen the world. But what you realize is everywhere you go, the world is empty without God. All you have to do is watch the news. Of course, we live in the States, and a few weeks ago, a guy walked into a church in South Carolina and killed the pastor and seven people. Y'all heard about that up here? I mean, it's been dominating the news where we live. And then a few days ago, a guy in California killed a woman walking up the coast. It's been all over the news. He had snuck in the border a few times, should have been in jail, and he killed a woman. And then we have riots and all this that are mounting in our world. You look overseas, and the nation of Greece is about to go under financially. It's in our news that the nation of Puerto Rico, the territory of Puerto Rico, is financially in straits. In China right now, their stock market is going down. If you know anything about investments, all over the world, we see people that have maybe been trying to live with stuff on the outside that find out it doesn't work. Like I said, I just turned 50. Some people were joking with me, said, well, you're over the hill. I said, well, I don't know a lot of 100-year-old men. I've been over the hill for a while. We got anybody over 50 in here? In 2 weeks. Well, let me just tell you this. When I hit 50, it made me realize I've got less time ahead of me than I've got behind me. I better live for what matters, right? Well, I Brother Steve, listen. I'm about to retire. That's when I'm really going to live. I've heard this my whole life from people that are retired. I retired and then my body stopped working. Is that true? I couldn't wait to retire, and then my knee gave out, and my feet stopped working, and my heart stopped working, and you know my hair fell out. If these are the golden years, I don't believe that. Let me tell you what's golden. It's golden understanding that on the inside you're right with God. That's what's golden. You see, he shares here, what I thought was good for my profit, I now consider lost for the sake of Christ. I consider everything a loss compared to knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Back in 1986, my wife and I met in California. After God touched my life and I renewed my relationship with Him at 19, at age 21, I went to California for 10 weeks in San Francisco area, and I did what was called summer missions for 10 weeks. And so we're at a camp in Northern California, and it had a stream going through it, and big redwood trees. It's a beautiful place. And God had been working on my life about the calling of my future. I was an engineering major at that time and had just switched to business, had no clue what I wanted to do. And that summer, for 10 weeks, as we got toward the end, I just sensed the calling of God on my life. Steve, I want you to surrender to ministry. For the rest of your life, I want you to serve me, preaching my word. Never dreamt I would do it. No one in my family on either side had been in the ministry. I was always good with numbers. My worst class was English. Okay, I didn't like to read. I like to crunch calculators, and the people back in Morgan City make fun of me because of the numbers. But God said, I'm going to take you out of your strength, and I'm going to take control of you in your weakness. And he did. So in 1986, by a stream at the Casadero Baptist Camp, about an hour north of San Francisco, I looked up into the sky one night, and I said, okay, God, I'll serve you. You see, what I had to decide as an 8-year-old was to follow him, as a 19-year-old to surrender to him, as a 20-year-old to serve him. See, he saved me as a child. He renewed me as a teenager. He called me a little bit later. You see, here's what I've learned. The Christian walk is a daily dealing with the clutter. Every day I'm going through the clutter, and I've got to decide what I'm going to deal with. Some of you have never made the initial decision of giving your life to Christ. Some of you have, but you've allowed clutter to sneak back in and take control of what is important in your life. Look at what he says back in our text, into verse 8. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. What does that mean? He said, I had to consider the things I valued as rubbish, which is another word for garbage. I had to consider the important things of my life garbage. I had to empty the clutter out of my life. I had to deal with the things that were hanging on the wall for 10 years. I had to get rid of them to make room for God to move in my life. Let me give you an example of what I'm saying. Let's see, do I have anything up here? Yeah, I'm going to use this. I don't know what was in here earlier. But whose is this?
Coffee.
Your coffee? I'm not going to drink after you, by the way. Does this open somehow? It probably opens. Oh, here you go. You see, in here, here's the issue most of you have that are not following the Lord. Do you know right now that is empty? Did you drink all that? He always does? Okay. In order for God to come in your life, what do you have to do first? You have to empty. You see, I cannot fill this up with something new unless I empty it of what is old. I want God to be in my life. Listen, you are a finite container. You're not an endless container. You can't have all of the world and then have all of what God wants. You have to empty first in order for Him to put something new in your life. You have to consider rubbish the things that you used to value for Jesus to be first. You watch the news. Have you seen how many people overseas that have proclaimed Jesus as Lord have died at the hands of ISIS? Have y'all watched that here in Canada? It's dozens. No, it's probably hundreds. In Syria, in Iraq, people that call the name of Jesus, they were given the choice to say, I don't believe in him, or they could claim him and die. You don't have that in Canada. We don't have that in Louisiana. But that's what Jesus was getting at. You've got to decide if you want to follow me. If you're going to do that, you must be emptied. Look at what it says as we continue here. Verse 10, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death. Oh, to follow Jesus, I may have to be treated like Jesus was treated. See, the real key to understanding that is I have never met anyone that got out of this life alive. Do you know anybody got out of here alive? We have something back where we live called Popeye's Fried Chicken. You ever heard of Popeye's? Popeye's Spicy Fried Chicken. How many have had Popeye's? Popeye's started where I grew up, about 3 miles from my house. A guy by the name of Al Copeland is the guy who created Popeye's famous fried chicken. In fact, I have a Popeye's about 150 yards from my house, and when the wind is blowing in my direction, man, my nose is happy. I'm telling you, it is some good stuff. It's better than Mr. Chicken, all right? It really is. It's some good stuff. Oh, okay. All right. I wanted to see if you were listening, but it's some good stuff, okay? And so... So we got a Popeye's right there in our community, and it started in the New Orleans area. Al Copeland, a multi-millionaire. He started other restaurants, franchising all over the country. Al Copeland accumulated toys. He has racing boats, and he has high-dollar European vehicles. I think Al Copeland got cancer. He died in his 60s. His funeral was in the New Orleans area, and they had a photo layout of his funeral. At his graveside service, they brought his boats and his cars and some of his favorite toys and had them on display at his grave. You get the picture? Heard a guy say years ago, there are no U-Hauls in funeral processions. Did Al Copeland take any of that with him? See, Al Copeland's life was cluttered with the stuff of this world that would not transition to the next. Is the clutter of your life going to stop you from seeing Christ eternally? This is what he said. I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection. That means coming to life again eternally. The fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. I'll have a little pain and inconvenience in this life if I have to. That's what Jesus did. I want to become like him in his death. Because as a Christian, you know what I understand? I'm never going to die. I'm just going to go through a door. Death is a door. Either way, death is a door. And so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. We have a little poodle at home. His name's Toby. Toby's about 10 pounds. I love Toby. He's a good dog. And more than that, Toby loves me. He really does. Toby comes, when I walk in the door, he jumps up, and he's on my leg, and my mom says, I've never seen a dog love anybody as much as your dog loves you. Listen to me. Does Toby know God? He wasn't made to know God. Does Toby have a career? No. Does Toby accumulate anything in life? No. Does he have a wardrobe? Is he ever going to get a degree? Toby's life is me. Now you say, Pastor, that's a little arrogant, isn't it? No, it's not. How many of you have animals? Are you the center of your animal's life? And the answer in as many ways, probably, unless you have a cat. Now, cats are different, okay? But dogs, you're the center of their lives. Think of all the animals. We're going to go up to Dingwall tonight, and we're going to see a moose, right? Maybe we'll see a moose. All right. I'm told don't run over them, though. Don't wear a moose. What does a moose exist for? To eat. Has no goal. He'll never get dressed. He'll never get an education. He exists. We went whale watching last year when we were here. What do these whales exist for? They don't know. They just survive. Human beings are the only creature of God that thinks about their death and thinks about what happens after death. We're unique. That's why Paul wrote these very words. What I was living for was not worth it, and then I realized that Jesus Christ was the answer to my life. I was living for the wrong thing, so therefore I dealt with the clutter in my life, and I considered it rubbish and trash, and I put it beside me, and I put Jesus before me. And he became the reason for living. And he is my reason for dying. And he is eternal life. You will never find satisfaction unless your reason for living matches what happens after you die. You're going to die, aren't you? Isn't that crazy? We make provisions for retirement. We buy life insurance to get us in the ground. But a lot of people never take and make provisions for what happens after that. Today is the opportunity to ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, to forgive you of your sins, and to become your Savior and Lord. How do I do that? Well, let me just tell you very quickly. We're going to share this with the kids this week. It's called the ABCs. A, you need to admit to God you're a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. B, you need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you, that God took on flesh, He died on the cross sinlessly to take on the sins of the world. And then C, you need to confess Jesus as Savior and Lord. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe that Jesus is God's substitution for your sins. And C, confess Him as your Savior and Lord. Wow. Very simple. Yes, it's basic. Even a child can accept Him. And I want to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I don't want to give you just an invitation to do that today. And if you'll pray this prayer, then I'm going to ask you, if you do that, at some point to come see Brother Pastor Pierre and tell him, you know what that preacher from the States said, I did that today. Can you help me go further? So I want you to pray this with me. If you want to accept the Lord Jesus into your life, if you're willing to relinquish the clutter, you're willing to make Him Savior and Lord. Would you pray this? Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. My sin separates me from You. I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. I believe that He died and took my sins upon Himself. I believe that He rose again because He was God in the flesh. And right now, I relinquish my life to His control. And I want Him to come and fill that emptiness in my heart and be my Savior and Lord. I surrender my life to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. At this time, Pastor, would you come? Take it from